Call to order this regular assembly meeting in the city of Borough of Wrangell, Alaska on June 13, 2017 at 7 p.m. The Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Stephen Prazanka, after which the invocation will be given by Mr. Don McConaughey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, watch over our assembly as they consider the problems that confront them. Give them guidance in their decision-making as they consider the finances that will give the borough the dollars that will support their goals for the coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Don.
We do have a ceremonial matter this evening. There is a presentation of a contribution from the Wrangell Community Association, Wrangell Cooperative Association, to the Helping Our Parks Community Project. Kate Thomas will receive that.
Hi everyone, my name is Esther Ashton. My name is Esther Ashton. I'm the transportation planner for the Wrangell Cooperative Association, and I'm pleased to be here to recognize the partnership between the City and Borough of Wrangell and the Parks and Recreation Department and the Wrangell Cooperative Association on the Volunteer Park Trail. The Wrangell Cooperative Association has a government-to-government relationship with the Federal Highways for our Tribal Transportation Program, and we receive funds from them to expand on transportation systems that are in our inventory. So if a system's in our inventory, then we're able to collaboratively partner on that. And our board, the WCA board, was extremely pleased that we were able to partner with the city and Parks and Rec on the Volunteer Park Trail. So we would just like to acknowledge Kate Thomas and Carol Rushmore for all the time that they put into making this partnership possible, and just say that WCA is actively looking for collaborative opportunities with the city in the future. So at this point, I'd like to present a check for $7,000 to the City and Borough of Wrangell and the Parks and Recreation Department on behalf of Wrangell Cooperative Association for the Volunteer Park Trail.
We started the Helping Our Parks project in an effort to make up for some of our shortfalls financially within the parks realm. A lot of our park infrastructure is heavily used. It's some of the most popular recreation sites within the municipality. So we deemed it as a priority this year, and in an effort to make that priority a viable option for an improvement, we partnered with WCA and a few other community members. But without the contribution of this amount, the project wouldn't be possible. So by the end of this summer, we'll hope to have the entire trail system resurfaced and some areas reconstructed, which is huge because I would say, you know, many of you have walked out there on a regular basis. Our kids play ball out there. It's right next to the elementary school. It's a huge resource for our community and even the elderly community that recreate in that area. So thank you to WCA, Esther, and Bill, and the board members that made this project possible. Thanks for letting us be on the ceremonials ticket tonight.
Well, thank you very much. I know a lot of people use that trail in the area there on a regular basis. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Here.
Prazanka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Item 3, amendments to the agenda.
Mayor, if I could, we'd like to remove 15A and 15B from the agenda as we have nothing to present to you at this time.
Without objection, that will be removed. Item 4, conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any of the agenda items? Hearing none. Items 5, consent agenda.
I move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk, items 6A and 7A.
Second.
Any discussion? Hold up, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 6 and 7 is under the consent agenda. Item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
You have a very detailed written report that was provided by Amber and Kim in my absence, so thank you to both of them. A couple of other updates on the water. Our seafood processing starts this week. So we're making the request and with a push to the community to be very conscious of their water use, not to be wasteful, and hopefully we will have no emergency situations. And so that's starting, and we just want to make sure everybody realizes that and is very conscious of the use. The other thing that I have to offer in a follow-up from last Thursday's meeting with union representatives, we were told by the union attorney that the union will be voting on a borough's counteroffer that was provided on Friday.
Go ahead.
Back to water for a second. I noticed that we had decreased production. Was that due to because we were not doing our sand filter maintenance? And my question is, was that due to the ozone filters going in, or why did we start to slow down on our sand filter maintenance?
If it's not necessary, they're not going to. If the flow is going well, they're not going to have to do the continued plunging. So yes, when you're not doing the plunging, you don't have as much backwash and loss of water at that point.
Okay.
If you need more details.
No, my only question is what I worry about is that we know that if the sediment load from the organics increases, the less plunging that we do, or whatever, you know, whether we're using the harrowing or the plunging. And I just sort of went, why are we slowing down on our maintenance right before we're getting ready for the high season? And wouldn't it be advantageous to continue the same rigorous plunging and harrowing schedule to ensure that we have the same production levels moving forward?
I would have to defer that question to Amber.
Would you mind, Mr. Mayor?
Would you come forward, please?
Amber, on that 11-mile Zillia Highway, the reason that we pulled back from the aggressive plunging that we were doing was because of the high turbidity that it was causing. So once we did that and realized that we were getting some numbers with our turbidity that could cause us to violate, we pulled back from that aggressive nature. At the same time, we had gotten to the point where we were getting run times on those filters of about 3 weeks, which is great. They were, before this effort, that we were getting, on average, 4 to 5 days runtime on the filter. So the plunging has given us a great benefit to the runtime. So 3 weeks from 4 to 5 days is huge. So we hope that we can maintain that type of runtime for the filters through the summer. We're back to plunging. It's not that we weren't, but we had scaled back a little bit. Which, as you do that, then you're not dumping that 145,000 gallons each time you dump a filter to clean it. So we save that amount of water by not, doing the aggressive cleaning as well. And some of that could have also been from just lower consumption.
Okay. And I read that we're going to be switching back to predominantly ATV and the harrowing process. Out of plunging, is that due to the turbidity? I didn't quite understand why we would switch from plunging.
Well, it takes about 5 people to do the plunging if you do it like we have been doing it. So unless we maintain, the extra help, which 2 of our 4 folks have already gone on to other jobs, it was supposed to be about a 6-week temporary position, and they've found other work again through the summer without having a commitment from us. So there is a staffing level that it requires. Also, come summer and the consumption, we may not have the time to do that plunging the whole time. We'll just have to see. We're kind of going to play by ear. If it comes down to the ATV is not working or the rototiller is not working as well as the plunging wheel, we'll go back to the plunging. We've got the setup and we'll use that.
I know from my perspective, the hiring of the extra people was my expectation, and that we would have those people available to help the water plant. That's my expectation. Like, that was my feeling. I won't speak for everybody here, but that if it's a matter of not having worrying about the money, I know, again, from my perspective, I want the water.
Okay, yeah, and absolutely. We'll seek out more temporary help if we need to, if that's what's
sounds good.
Right now, I think we're just so good about where we are with the efforts that we've put forth. With the start of the peak season, though, I think we're just going to have to keep a close eye on it, monitor it, and figure out do we need to change what we're doing. And we will be doing that daily.
Perfect. Yeah. And then I have another question regarding the same report, and I don't know if Carol would be the best or Amber. But
I think that Julie had a question for Amber, so why don't you go ahead first, Julie?
Thank you. I guess I was looking for a little more understanding of when you have water production numbers, does that mean water is coming out of the plant going into the tank or coming from the tank? What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, the production numbers that we've been reporting to you weekly, those that's what we're making. So that would include also what is being wasted when we clean filters. So that's everything that runs through our plant, whether it's going up to the tank or being dumped in the ditch.
Okay.
It's a combination of all of that.
I just in case someone doesn't know it, it takes treated water to flip back flush. They have to use treated water for that.
Right.
Any further questions for Amber?
I think I have one that she can answer. For the benefit of the public, could you give us the logistics of the scrap metal collection procedure?
Yes. Channel Construction will be bringing their barge into town next Tuesday, a week from today. They will be docking at the barge ramp across the street here from City Hall. We did try to work out a deal with them parking at the 6 Mile Mill, just to try to keep all the material away from running through downtown and have it out there. But because of the extra distance, they were opposed to doing that. So they are going to be hauling all of that metal through downtown. We'll go over a route with them to minimize their travel and make it safe for the pedestrians and vehicular activity. So they'll be here on Tuesday. We are going to have reduced hours out at the landfill because of the congestion that we have out there. And all of the equipment that's going to be running. So from Tuesday through Saturday of next week, we'll have limited hours. They're going to be from 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. only, open to the public. We'll still have regular collection, garbage collection, so folks won't miss their curbside pickup for that. But as far as hauling material to the landfill or to the dump, that is going to be reduced hours. So 2 to 4 each day, Tuesday through Saturday.
And where does the public take their junk vehicles?
So if folks have vehicles to take, they need to be taken this week. If they were to bring it out next week while we're open, those 2 hours each day, they would bring it up as they normally do. And depending on how quickly the channel gets through the pile, you know, we'll direct them. But they would just need to bring it up to the solid waste facility. We are asking, because we don't have good equipment right now with our excavator being running in limited power, we don't have that ability really to pick the cars like we have in the past to drain the fluids. So my notice to the public last week said, if you are bringing a vehicle, you need to make sure the ties are off and the fluids are drained, and you need to have a title to present that car to us to destroy. So folks need to have all of that in order. When they bring the vehicle up.
Take the ex-wife's car up.
Otherwise, it may be rejected. We can't allow channel to take the vehicles with fluid in it, especially if there's gas, and we just can't run that risk, and they won't accept it. So that's what we're asking.
Go ahead and ask your other questions.
So just two quick things. One is I would imagine the overage for the roughing filter is going to be discussed later on. We would be able to budget. Okay. Number two, under just on the fire truck tires, I appreciate the effort that the department's putting into looking into those. The only question I had is we have the garage staff are going to determine the trade out schedule, and I appreciate that 7 years, you know, for low mileage tires is probably pretty darn short. My only question is, do you have a plan? Are you going to have a system of evaluating those tires, and then is that going to be documented? And I'm only thinking strictly from a risk management liability standpoint to the city, that if we're just sort of going by and going, yeah, it looks good, and we're not kind of, we don't have a process in place that says X amount of tread, this is inspected, it was inspected on this date, blah, 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 and whether it's your guys or the people that do the truck checks, I'm not sure who would do that, but I'd really like to see that documented so that if we did have a problem, it shows we made the best faith effort that we could have.
And you want to see this on all vehicles?
It would be well. I mean, if my understanding is that by NFPA standards, you have 7 years. Now, NFPA's questioning its own standards. I went online and read today that 7 years may be an unrealistic mark for most small cities like us.
You're
so
just talking about fire
rigs, okay. and ambulances, because you know they're it kind of becomes a hot potato. So I'm just wondering if you'd put some thought into, and I think there's some standards out there. They say this much tread, this much sidewall wear.
Yeah, there are gauges, there are tread gauges that you use also for doing full inspections. I don't know what all that looks like, but I'll talk to the garage lead mechanic, and we'll see what that may look like. I will say that we also do rely on people who are using those vehicles to do periodic inspections too, and if they notice anything different, they're obligated as a user of the vehicle to let us know if there's concerns.
I can tell you that we don't inspect tires as a part of our regular fire department, volunteer fire department duties. We do have people that do fire truck checks, and I don't know if that's their responsibility, but I've never looked at a tire or kicked a tire personally. So
yeah, and I can talk to the department head about that.
Sure.
And talk about what some expectations are about people who use vehicles. I think anyone who gets in a vehicle has some obligation to make sure that certain things are in good operating condition. And I would say, to some degree, tires are too. Do I check the tires every time I get a vehicle? No. But I think that it's probably a good practice every so often to at least have someone who's looking those over.
I guess I'll just come out and say I would prefer that your mechanic or somebody designated is doing it. These are volunteer firefighters. It changes up, and to add that to our list of responsibilities to check our tires before we roll out in the fire truck is a lot. I think it should be somebody who's regularly doing maintenance on the tires and it's documented correctly. Because my big worry is that if we do have a blowout and we're exceeding the seven-year standards, and by what this says, we're already over 7 years on all of our tires. And if somebody's driving out the road at whatever speed and the tire blows and they roll a fire truck, I kind of like to know that we were looking at it and not just letting them run out.
Absolutely.
That's it for me.
Anything further? Any questions, comments? Thank you, Abby. Anything further for the manager?
Welcome back.
Item 9, Borough Clerk file.
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything. I just want to bring your attention, however, though, that I put in the report the upcoming vacancies for the elected officials that's going to be on the ballot in October. So we have two assembly members, one port commissioner. We have one regular school board 3-year term and one unexpired 2-year term. We have two hospital board members, 4-year terms, and one 2-year unexpired term. So we have 3 hospital. And then also included is the election calendar. So that's all I have.
Any questions? Yes, Julie.
I just want to say thanks, Kim, for getting the minutes out very quickly from the June 8th meeting.
Sure. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Are there any reports from any assembly members?
I guess I wanted to say on the record that I was not able to attend the last meeting due to last minute work schedule, but I did read the minutes and listen to the tape of the meeting, so tried to get up to speed as much as I could.
Item 10B. Appointments to city boards and committees. There were no letters of interest on any of the vacancies. The one on the Economic Development Committee expires October 2019, and one on the Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau expires October 2018. So we'll keep advertising for those. Item 11, persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on the agenda, speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have an opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item. We have one person, Don Sorek, on the shipyard facility. Would you come forward to the microphone, state your name and address, please?
My name is Don Sorek, 523 Front Street. I'm not sure. I understood that this issue was going to be on the agenda, but maybe I had
It is on the agenda.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess just to start off, I'd like to bring you up on a little history real quick. That I have two leases down at the Wrangell Marine Service Center. I have lot number one, which is the big lease on the west side of the property, and I have lot number seven on the east side next to the city shop. And I've had that lease for 3.5 years now. I've got it. I got it in, I believe, in 2014. Started paying lease on that in January 2014. I won the bid on that about 5 months earlier, if I'm not mistaken. And when the leases came out for bid, we were told that the leases were going to be provided with water and sewer. So we bid on them, those leases, assuming that what we were told was correct, and it would eventually have water and sewer. Upon winning the lease and after the concrete was installed by the city, I built a permanent structure there. I built a shop there, a machine shop there. And the machine shop does welding. It does machine work. It has stock and materials, and we also use it for a support facility for the equipment over on the other lease where we work, where we actually do most of the work on the boats. After the facility was completed, after we had completed our building, at a cost of over, including the equipment that went in the building, we have an investment of over $250,000 in that building. And we have about another $150,000 shipyard materials in that building, such as plastics and paints and stuff that we use on the other side of the yard. When it came time to hook up the water, as we were building the building, we always assumed that it had the water and the sewer, because we have an 8-inch boot that comes out of the ground on it, and we were asked where we wanted the water and the sewer placed. We explained where we thought would be the best place to do that. So, as far as we were concerned, we thought it was in place, because there's a plate on the ground that says sewer, and there's a plate on the ground that says water. Upon asking to have that hooked up, it was discovered that it was evidently never hooked up into the main water and sewer. We had built facilities for water and sewer, and we have it's all the way on the other side of the yard. I have employees. By law, I'm required to have a restroom facility within 300 feet of my employees, which I provided. However, it wasn't able to be hooked up. This is 3 years ago. When we started this quest 3 years ago, I've been to the city manager, several times. I've been to Port Commission, me and the Port Commission and I have discussed this matter many times, as well as the harbor, and I've been to Public Works and asked on several occasions when or how this might happen. It seems that it's quite a project because it's under Front Street now. It appears, nobody's positive, but it appears that it hasn't been stubbed out. So I'd like to bring to your attention and lobby for it this time is something to, every time I ask, nobody knows when or how or if it will ever happen. And I've tried to be patient. We're talking 3 years here. And I finally, last year, I quit bugging people about it because I thought I would try it once a year. So this leads me here, basically, to because when I asked last year, they said it had to go into the budget. They asked me, and after I asked if it was in the budget, they said that it was turned down. And the way I understood, the way it was explained to me, that it was turned down by the council. But later, in talking to a couple of councilmen, it was explained to me that you guys don't go item by item. So it was explained out. And that this has never been brought before you. So what I would like to do is make you aware of this. And the reasons that we need water so badly, especially water, is because, you know, we're welding over there. And I have set up a cistern. I have a 250-gallon water capacity over there. I have 11 fire extinguishers and a foam extinguisher. Required by law just to do the work that I do over there. However, we had that on the other side too, and we've just been through a very expensive lesson on that because when what you really need when you're doing our kind of work is you need unlimited firefighting capacity. When you can't have it, fire extinguishers running out or the water hose going dry. Or right now, currently, we're 300 feet away from the nearest hydrant, which is a lot of hose. You know, and a long time to get. We need something that's activatable right away to stop the fires in their impotent stage. That it's very important that you get these fires when they're small and not after they've grown to a point where it becomes a fight to get them out. So that's what's real scary about this. We get another fire started down there, and something that we had hoses at the other fire, but. This time, and if we had a problem over there, you know, I mean, it puts a lot of people in jeopardy. It puts the leases next to me in jeopardy. It puts the businesses outside the facility that are close by in jeopardy, and it puts my facility in jeopardy. So you know, I'm thinking that it's very important to have that done. I would like to ask if you guys. Did you guys receive a letter from the Port Commission that that supported this also?
Yes.
Okay. And I won't bother to reread that to you. So, but anyhow, I guess I'm just asking. I would just like to try to get things moving in the direction of how or when this might happen. I mean, even if I knew, that way I would know how far I have to go to. I mean, do I have to put up a silo with? My own water and to catch my own water to try to where I feel safe and to where I feel that my neighbors are safe, or is this something that's going to happen in the near future? Because I feel like we're at this time kind of riding on borrowed time. It's not if we're going to have a fire, it's when. I'm in that business. We weld every day. We play with fire every day. We got sparks flying. There's, you know, normally fires, if they occur, can be put out. You know, it's just when they get out of hand or you don't have the resources. Believe me, if I had the resources or if I was even allowed to do this project myself, I would. But my hands are tied. I'm on city property. I'm not allowed to dig ditches or to run water lines. And I feel like I shouldn't have to because I was told that it had that. So, but anyhow, I'm not worried about any of that, but I would like some answers or some planning, because what it appears to me is that nothing's being done and that we just continually get passed over.
Well, as mentioned earlier, it is on the agenda for this evening for discussion. And what occurs then is up to the assembly, basically.
Okay.
And I can't, we can't give you an answer right at this moment.
Understood.
Does anybody, Julie?
I'd just like to say that when it comes up on the agenda, maybe we can ask some more questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Item 12, unfinished business, proposed ordinance number 935, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections and adding new sections to Chapter 15.04, Water of the Wrangell Municipal Code. This is a second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 935 as presented.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Persunka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.